The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome and good night to the Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer. Thank you for joining us on another Tuesday evening for all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society. Brought to you tonight, of course, by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical health needs. Located at 72 Collins Avenue, we're a family medicine clinic, and we see adults, children, everybody, and we're now accepting patients on NHI. So if you want to reach us, give us a call. 326-1521 429-4880. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and site mcsfamilymedicine.com to see all of our services, including home care, IV vitamin therapy, MD pen needling, and much, much more. So just go and check it out. And like I said, if you're interested in the NHI, we can help you get all set up. Just give us a call. I want to welcome everybody. You know, we talk a lot about medicine. We talk about a lot about the health of the country. But we also talk on very kind of topical social topics. And so we want to change it a little. But I know we've been doing a lot of the COVID recently. But there's not only COVID that exists in the world. So we're going to talk about something I think is really, really important. I've been watching this story for quite some time. And for those of you who are on line, usually with our Facebook page, The Doctor Is In. We're not streaming live right now. We are going to update this and put on Facebook later on. But with a few technical difficulties, we are straight on Guardian. So check the app, the radio, or the Guardian radio website, and you can hear us on all of those places. So I've been following the story that's been going on in the Bahamas for quite some time. I hear a little bit here and a little bit there. And what really piqued my interest is the broader sense of what it means to our country and the way that people lead our country, how they look at Bahamians, and where we are going. For quite some time, Bahamians have talked about empowerment and wanting to be a part of the economy and wanting a piece of the pie. We've watched this kind of plantation economics go on for quite some time where people come in and then they give us jobs. So most people say Bahamians investing into their own country. So I saw this story where there was a Bahamian who tried to invest in the country, but then he got a lot of problems. And it just tells us that even when we try, sometimes we have these large obstacles. So tonight with me, I have a special guest. We had a good conversation before this show, so I could get an idea of what he was going through. And I thought it was important to kind of play out all the parts of this story so that we can understand what's really going on. So my guest tonight is Mr. Toby Smith. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Dr. Archer. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Good evening, Bahamas. And thank you for having me on this evening.
So I heard bits and pieces, you know, on various shows about what was going on in your particular case. And, you know, I it always kind of stuck with me. Anytime I heard it, I kind of listened as much as possible because I tend to find that I'm a bit of a nationalist in a sense, not in the weird, strange way, but in the good, positive way. As in, I do believe that Bahamians should play a large role in the economy, be up in front, be first tier, not second tier. I have no issues with foreigners and other people coming in and participating and helping bring resources, whatever it needs to be. But there should be a place for the Bahamian in all of this. And it should not be on the back burner. It should be front and center. And so your situation was very, very interesting. What I would like you to do, though, Mr. Smith, is tell us a little bit about you and you as a Bahamian, the same way we kind of talked when we were talking amongst ourselves. Who's Toby Smith?
Who's Toby Smith? Toby Smith, as far as being a national is concerned. Yes, not in the extreme level, but certainly standing alongside other Bahamians where we are strung together with a common thread and cut from the same cloth. And what I've come to realize is that if it's two Bahamians warring against each other, people will pick sides of who do you want to side with in a war. But when it comes down to somebody disenfranchising or attacking or bullying a Bahamian, I've personally seen the Bahamians sort of align themselves and stand up and defend the fellow Bahamian. And I really appreciate that. And so who is Toby Smith? Toby Smith is a person that I was born in the Bahamas. I've grown up here. I spent about 12 years traveling around the world. My parents raised six children and were generous and hardworking enough to put me into private school. Some of that was spent in England, hence a bit of the accident. But I consider myself 100% Bahamian. And what I've done in the past is certain giving back projects, such as art in public places, hurricane relief, that kind of stuff. We really connected with some fantastic Bahamians along the way. And my chill out spot was at the top of the Paradise Island Lighthouse, or one of them. So the Paradise Island Lighthouse is located right at the entrance to the Nassau Harbor. It's the first thing that you see via cruise ship or boat when you're coming into New Providence's harbor. And I was sitting up there one day thinking this place should really be fixed up and made to look glorious. And we should really take pride in restoring it and have it on display for our 7 million arrivals via sea. And I thought, okay, well, then who's responsible for lighthouses in the Bahamas? And it's the Antiques, Monuments, and Museums Corporation. And they clearly haven't been able to pull off the restoration of any lighthouses in the Bahamas. The Port Department is responsible for the light bulb functioning in conjunction with the Defense Force. So there's multiple government agencies that are supposed to be looking after our lighthouses. And I thought, okay, they need to be looked after. No one seems to be doing it. Why point the finger at someone else? And maybe it should be me that's doing it and restoring it and bringing it back to former glory. So it went from a chill out spot. Now, you did say earlier on that you've been following me for quite some time. So to summarize all this,
a little bit. Right? Yeah.
So in 10 years, I'm in my 10th year of trying this, where I thought it would be a bit easier, right, than having to beg for 10 years. And finally, so I got
my degree. What were you doing 10 years ago before you decided to do this project?
As a person?
Yeah.
10 years ago, I was recently divorced, a single father, and I decided that I was going to go off and work for myself instead of me busting my butt and making a bunch of other people wealthy, that I should invest in myself and concentrate on you know, dedication, hard work, and it paid off. I did work hard. I successfully built a couple of companies. And one of those companies was starting Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club Company Limited. So I put in the application April 12, 2012. So almost 10 years ago with the Department of Lands and Surveys requesting Crown land on the western end of Paradise Island. So it was a bit unclear of exactly how many acres were over there as far as Crown land is concerned. I had a site plan that was done in the 50s that claimed that there was about 17 acres there. So I put in for all of it and said to the Department of Lands and Surveys, hey, can I have this Crown land, please? It's got the lighthouse in it. I'd like to restore the lighthouse. And my plan is to generate revenues at a beach club. And those revenues will help pay off the bill for restoring the lighthouse.
Yeah, I think a lot of humans didn't even realize it was Crown land over there. They keep the Crown land so secret, right?
Yeah.
Because I too have been through the process of trying to get Crown land. And the guy was like, I can't tell you where it is. You got to kind of go do your research, figure it out.
Yeah. Well, he was probably with a spot. Very honest. He probably couldn't tell you where it was.
No. They knew where it was. But go find a spot. Just point to it on the map, and then we'll let you know if it's Crown land, and we'll do the research afterwards. It's very, very interesting process, to say the least. So it's really strange how, you know, people come from other places and they know where the Crown Land is, and Bahamians have to kind of search it out. So I think that was one thing. I don't think anyone realized that there was Crown Land on Paradise Island. So you did do your research.
Yeah, it's the only Crown Land on Paradise Island. Yeah, so I did my research. I understood that that area is Crown Land, and I thought that rather appealing because it's the only Crown Land that's on Paradise Island. I know it's a bone of contention amongst many people as far as Bahamians having access to the beach. I mean, we live on an island, and Bahamians are shunned at the thought of wishing to be able to enjoy some beach. So, you know, it's not really possible on Paradise Island anymore. You meet signs of other beaches that you can use, such as Montague, Junkanoo, Saunders Beach. But why shouldn't Bahamians be able to enjoy our best beaches with unfettered access? So it seems as though, you know, the trend is in the past is that we've got to fight for parking or fight to climb over fences or pull some fences down to make our voices heard. And it became apparent to me, having received perhaps similar emails to what you did in your Crown Land application, that, okay, we've received your application, right? It's receiving attention, sir. Okay, but how fast your work? It's been, you know, 1 year, 2 years?
Yes,
2 years. Can I get a decision, right? So finally, the good news is that after applying originally in 2012, I got a response back in 2018 from the Bahamas Investment Authority stating that your Crown Land application has been approved.
Wow.
So to get to that point, it was that I applied for all of the Crown Land, and then the government sort of back and forth with me a whole bunch of times to say, oh, well, you can't have 17, and oh, we got other interested parties, can't have everything. So we basically back and forth and saying, all right, we'll approve you for 5 acres. And then we agreed on whereabouts those 5 acres will be. So they designated to me 2 acres, which is immediately around the lighthouse on the western end of Paradise Island. And then down the ways a little bit more, there's what is currently called Colonial Beach. So the government of the Bahamas, through the Bahamas Investment Authority, the Department of Land and Surveys, the Attorney General's Office, the Office of the Prime Minister, went through a very exhaustive process to make a Crown Land lease based on a cabinet conclusion. So the cabinet met and agreed to designate 5 acres, 2 acres around the lighthouse, 3 acres on Colonial Beach, and go ahead and draw up a lease. So I was notified of this, and Bahamas Investment Authority sent me a letter of approval. I then signed a memorandum of understanding with the Bahamas Museum Corporation, which is AMMC. And then, lo and behold, on the 7th of January, 2020, I was called from the department to pick up your Crown Land lease and your cover letter that says, approval, Crown Land lease.
Wow. So how are you feeling at the time after years of kind of waiting? Was this a sense of relief for you?
Yeah. With trepidation of celebration, because here it is. I've been waiting for 8 years of asking, begging, kissing some butt, camping out down at cabinet, camping out at the House of Assembly. Hey, Minister. Hey, Prime Minister. You know, thousands of emails. This was literally like a full-time, not literally, this is a full-time job for me, right? So I'm self-employed, and I dedicate some time towards one business, another business, and this is one of the businesses that I have to dedicate time to. So how was I feeling? I was feeling great, but with, I say, trepidation that, okay, it's taken me this long, but that doesn't happen. And putting up a beach club and restoring the lighthouse, this is just one step. And I'd be foolish to think that was my final step, but it was a big accomplishment. So I was feeling good. And I was feeling good for a little while, all of about 6 weeks. So Oscar,
now we talked about your project, and I just want people to know, just tell them a little bit about what you were going to do, and if you had the money, the investment. Were you ready, Toby? Were you ready for this opportunity?
Oh, yeah, man, I've been ready. So when the government asked me, are you ready for this project? And do you have the money? I'm like, do you understand that you've taken 10 years and you're asking me if I'm ready? After me asking you all for 10 years and you've been spinning tires and you want to know if I got the money? So am I ready? The flat answer is yes, I am ready, and I've already started. Do I have the money? I'm blessed that I've been fortunate in working hard, and working hard for a fair day's pay has paid off. And I have Bahamian investors that have stood beside me. I went for a first round of calls about 2 years ago once I got, well, actually before I got the lease, I made the first round, and every single person that I spoke to were interested in investing, being Bahamian silent partners that would simply agree upon equitable terms in order to lend me the money so that I would have the capital to pull this whole project off. So they were poised, I'm poised, and it's been a revolving door, unfortunately. So when they call me and say, when I'm in my pocket, what do you want me to do? When am I supposed to invest? I'm like, I'm not going to receive your money until I get all my dots, my I's dotted and my T's crossed. So far I got a lease. So you asked me, how did I feel when I got a call on January the 7th, 2020, about this new lease that you got, Tobes? Well, I felt really good for about 6 weeks, because then I heard through the grapevine that the then Prime Minister of the Bahamas...
Well, let's hold that for a second, Toby. I just want you to tell us what your project is. Tell us exactly.
Sorry, explain to us. My project.
No problem. We'll get there. Yeah. So let's build it so everybody knows what's at stake here.
Yeah. Okay. So my project is to fully restore the Paradise Hog Island Lighthouse back to its former 1817 glory, which was when it was built more than 200 years ago. It's totally redo the exterior, interior, put a proper light out there. So it's actually a respectable beacon of light to mariners, seafarers, and the Bahamian community and our guests to be able to enjoy a restored lighthouse. There's also a lighthouse keeper's quarters over there that will be restored, and we will be putting in a dock so that you could go over there for a historical tour and a historical experience of Bahamian culture and Bahamian history. Right, that's it. That's it, the lighthouse part of the deal. Down the road, down the beach, is the beach club. So down the beach club, there'll be a separate dock. So you'll be able to go from downtown to the beach club in less than 5 minutes and be out there and have some Bahamian food, a really tasty burger at reasonable prices. You can be able to chill out on the beach, enjoy this this diminishing asset of the beach commodity without any kind of hassle. So
Bahamians will be open to the beach. They can purchase food, drinks. They can hang out on the beach. Yeah. This will be open for everybody, tourists, Bahamians, everybody. Kind of like back in the old days, how we used to do tourism, right? Where the locals and the tourists all mingled together, and people had really great experiences. They went away from the Bahamas saying, you know, they experienced the Bahamas, the people, and all of that stuff.
And they made new friends.
That's right.
Yeah. And then when Bahamians go to the States or go to where those tourists are from, they're like, man, you come stay with us. Or you build it's like pen pals back in those days, where you get, you know, a waitress will come up. How you doing, pretty mama? What can I get for you to Bahamas? And really be genuinely interested in offering good service and a genuine greeting of Bahamian hospitality. So, yes, I'd like to bring that to the forefront, where our guests and Bahamians are treated with great service, with great food, great drinks, great Bahamian entertainment, culture. So they'll be at the beach club, there'll be like a village. So within that village will be a place where you can get food, or multiple places where you can get food. There'll be multiple bars. It will be a safe location. It will be that we're not totally destroying the environment, you know, paving paradise and putting in a bunch of deck chairs and charging people $150 a day to come use it. No, it will be priced very reasonably. There will be one price for Bahamians. And I'd love to share with you what the deal is, but I'm not trying to copy my ideas.
That's okay.
And for tourists, it will be done at an affordable price.
Right. So you have a residence price, as I like to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A resident pricing, right? And so you'd be able to go literally from downtown over to the beach club or to the lighthouse, be able to get lunch and jump back on the ferry and be back downtown behind your desk within an hour, right? If tourists arrive and you've got, say, a family and some people want to spend some time downtown and some people want to go to the beach within that family, it would be, listen, I'm going to be right there. And they'll be able to see, touch, feel, all the rest of it. And they can bounce back and forth on a water taxi. So we're going to embrace the existing ferry boats that are downtown now, that down along Woods Rogers Wharf, that have been since I was a kid down there and before then, that shuttle people between downtown and trying to change what's been working for decades. We're going to embrace them, ask them if they want to bring people out to the beach club or out to the lighthouse, feel free to do so. We're embracing all of the taxi drivers, the tour operators, and frankly, you know, the airlines, the hotels, the cruise ships. If guests want to book with us, then they can come over and enjoy the experience. It's not just exclusively for instance, one brand of cruise line.
Okay. That sounds pretty awesome and open, and you know, it sounds like a really good plan, and it's very Bahamian oriented. I like the fact that you want to involve you know, Bahamian artists and just kind of have that old school feel, because I think we are losing that in a sense. I always have a feeling like we're building paradise for someone else.
Yeah.
And people are kind of instructing us on what they would like the Bahamas to be, and inviting people to participate in that. And I think that's where we need to, because I love traveling, and wherever we travel, you know, you can get very immersed in other people's culture. You kind of live the experience that there is, you know. So when you go up Santorini, you're experiencing things like the Greeks, you know. You're in Athens, you know, you're in Athens. When you're in Italy, you know, you're in Italy. So I think the Bahamas, in a sense, has lost a lot of its flavor because we have tried to mold ourselves into what commercial outsiders have wanted for us, instead of staying true to our nature and selling that to the world. And that's what people really want, the authenticity of our islands, which is absolutely wonderful and beautiful, isn't it?
You completely, right? When it was Peanut Sailor and the Drumbeat Club, the Zanzibar, the Silver Slipper, the Rusty Nail, all of these places, and some of it was over the hill, some of it was along West Bay Street. I don't want to use the term grassroots Bahamian, but it was centrally Bahamian. It was Bahamian centric. So as you say, like, why do we need to change something that works so well and drew so many people that they could enjoy this raw Bahamian experience, this feeling of that you can't go to Junkanoo or listen to Junkanoo music without feeling. So there's artists in the painting form, right? Or the written form or the musical form. And I want to embrace all of that. So over at the beach club, for instance, a friend of mine said, wouldn't it be cool if you could have like a resident artist over there? I mean, yeah, it would be cool to have a resident. They stay with me for 3 or 6 months and they have a studio and they could have their wares on this. People traverse the island. They can go in and to an art gallery and see the person actually, you know, sculpting or painting or doing poetry or printing or something like that. So I'm embracing of other people's inputs. And it's a very simple litmus test of how I plan on running this historical cultural site. Is it going to be, the litmus test is this best for the Bahamas and is this best for Bahamians? And if it doesn't suit those two criteria perfectly, then, you know, it's not even getting off the ground. But if it does, then we need to continue it. So it will provide opportunity not only for me, but opportunity of ownership and participation from other Bahamians, for other Bahamians.
Okay. So everything sounds good. Just quickly good. Tell us what changed.
There was a change in between me receiving the lease. It was dated the 7th of January, 2020. I received it. I bussed down there before they closed on the 7th, right? What time you close? So I bussed down the land to serve it.
That was my birthday. You got your lease on my birthday.
It's a good day. Right. A good day and a good day. All in one, right? So I bussed down there before they closed. I picked it up. The next day I went out to my lawyers. He notarized it, did all the fancy stuff that was required in the cover letter and spelt out for me. And then I returned it back to the government on the 9th of January, 2020, thinking that everything is cool. Now I got my lease. It said, sign it. And then the leasor, being the minister responsible for Crown Lands, will then sign it and then give it back to me. Okay, sounds groovy. I did that. And what changed? Well, I started getting whispers. Word on the grapevine was that Royal Caribbean Cruise Line was sniffing. They threw their hat in the ring. Said, hey, we want some of that Crown Land too. So I actually confronted past Prime Minister Minnis.
So hold it right there. Hold it right there until we are going to go to a quick break and we come back.
Yes.
And you're going to get to explain all of that from the very beginning.
Hold tight. Hold tight. It gets better.
Yeah, so we're going to hear all of this. Hold tight, everybody. We're going to a quick break. Toby's going to explain to us what happened. Why didn't this wonderful project go through? And we'll be back in a few minutes on The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. D. Archer.
In a year when hugs and happy smiles have been few and far between, Fresh Market knows just how important this holiday season is to everyone. We've made our list, we've checked them twice, all to ensure that your holiday meals are filled with fresh and delicious ingredients. Our produce delis and bakeries are filled with holiday sweets and treats. And our grocery aisles are stocked with all your favorite essentials. It's the best time of the year, and we're giving you fresh for the holidays.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Are you planning on gift shopping, visiting family and friends, or going out to dinner during the holidays? Don't forget to pay attention to the latest public health protocols and regulations. We must continue to wash our hands and sanitize frequently. Wear our masks. Avoid touching our faces. Cough and sneeze into our elbows and maintain a distance of at least 3 feet away from others in public. If we all follow these tips, we can have a happy and healthy holiday season.
This message brought to you by Boston with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good night and welcome back to The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Janothra Archer. We're here with Toby Smith and we're talking about his project on Paradise Island, and we're about to get into what exactly happened. Tonight's show, of course, is brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. They're at 326-1521, 429-4880. If you'd like to be a part of the show or you'd like to support the show, you can send us an email at which email should I give you? drd@mcsfamilymedicine.com. Okay, Toby, you told us all about the project. It sounded really, really good. That was January. Something changed. You can go on with your story.
Right. So I got wind through the grapevine that something was awry and that RCL had thrown their hat in the ring to try and get some Crown land. So I'd already returned my Crown land lease to the government of the Bahamas, and I'm you know, waiting for them. I offered payment. I dropped off payment for the whole year in the form of a check that was recorded and signed for. And so having, you know, invested 8 years up to that point, getting the lease, and then me understanding that things were awry, I approached the Prime Minister, Minnis, and said, listen, I'm hearing that you guys are entertaining giving some Crown land to RCL, to Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. And he told me big and bold in my face, I'm not, this is in February, he says, I'm not about to compromise the terms of your deal for Carnival, RCL, or any other cruise line for that matter. He says, just be patient, wait until the 4th of March. I say, the 4th of March? What's happening the 4th of March? And then come to find out that the government of the Bahamas wanted to sign a heads of agreement with Royal Caribbean Cruise Line on the 4th of March at the Grand Lucayan for the sale of the Grand Lucayan in Grand Bahama. So I said, well, that tells me that Royal Caribbean are probably going to be in Grand Bahama. And the Prime Minister, what better place can I go for the 4th of March but go see what's going down? So I went.
Oh, you were on this, Toby. You you were really on this.
On it like white on rice. So yeah. I jumped on Bahamas Air. I flew over that morning. I landed, and you know, all the pomp and pageantry was going on, all the signing and junk and that, and all, you know, wooing all these investors from RCL. And I walked up to Michael Bailey, the CEO of Royal Caribbean, and said, hey, what's happening? My name is Toby. He says, Toby. Lighthouse Toby. Yeah, I've heard a bit about you before. And basically, I said, what I'd like to do is sit down and chat, because I understand that you guys are trying to get some Crown land, and I done got it. So he said, okay, here's your man that you need to talk to. His name's James Doink over there. Go talk with him and set up a meeting and figure it out, basically, right? So
at this point, though, had you officially been told that, you know, the land was possibly going to someone else, or?
Yeah.
Considering your lease?
Unofficially, that's what I heard through the grapevine.
No, officially, had you heard?
No, they ain't said it to me yet.
You check, you dropped off your signed lease, you're waiting, you're being patient, you're hearing things basically in the wind, and you're just trying to figure this out for yourself.
Right. So I said, let me fly to Grand Bahama and get the, if Minister's over there and RCL's over there, Michael Bailey's over there, then I got the players that I need to talk to and say, yo, player, what's going on over here, man? Because things ain't looking, I don't like what I'm hearing. So what they did was, and it's coming out now in the newspapers, I'm finding out and sort of being able to put the dots together, is that subsequent to the government receiving my lease back and subsequent to a cabinet conclusion being done in 2018 and all of the protocols that must be followed within the process of getting a Crown land lease was done for me, right, for my company. And I am now understanding that at the same time already in talks with Royal Caribbean, and then I'm getting documents like at certain public meetings, they're having, they're displaying documents that you could review and whatnot at town planning. And I connected the dots with that. And also for Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, there was an open folder of public consultation that some of those dots were now being connected. And it's there abundantly clear that the government of the Bahamas approved me and then also approved Royal Caribbean to have Crown land where available. Well, they're knocking on the wrong door because it ain't available according to the lease that I have. So what happened was that right before the government of the Bahamas signed this heads of agreement with Royal Caribbean for the Grand Lucayan, a handshake deal was done between past Prime Minister Minnis and Michael Bailey of RCL to say if we could work out Paradise Island.
Now, do you know this for sure, Toby?
Well, this is what a government minister told me.
This is what you were told?
By a government minister. So I said, well, then I need some kind of clarity here, man. And I wrote the prime minister, said I'd like a letter of comfort here. Because you're telling me wait until the 4th of March, be patient. And it sounds as though you want me to wait around to get set up. Like you trying to, I don't know what an IRCA acceptable word is, but
sounds
like
I don't know. Be careful.
You're trying to pull something on me. And I'm like, no, you can't get over on me like that. So they tried. So they signed this. They signed the Grand Lucayan Heads of Agreement on the 4th of March. And then they just continued on their merry way. So I'm saying, okay.
So you basically were told to wait until.
Hold on, because we need to double deal this and sell it and double cross you. Hold on, Toby, because we're right in the process right now of double crossing you. That's the best way I could put it right there.
How do you feel? And we kind of got into this, and I'm also going to open the phone lines in a bit too. How do you feel as a Bahamian? Being kind of feeling that you're locked into a deal and then you have someone kind of just come in and it's almost as if that deal is more preferred than the deal that they had with you.
It's not that it seems as though it's more preferred. It's completely preferred. How do I feel? Just like how any Bahamian would feel to say that, hey, you've been fighting for a cause. Finally, you get a Crown Land lease that you've been fighting for or whatever that might be in the form of what you're waiting on government for. You finally get it. And then you find out you've been bamboozled. That's the word I was looking for. Mm. Then you find out you're being bamboozled and double-crossed. It's like, man, I was waiting around for that. Maintained my level of diplomacy and respect for the establishment in saying, I'd like to know exactly what's going on, please. I would also like a letter of comfort. I'd like some meetings here. And I'd like to sit down with the prime minister. So I probably wrote to the prime minister about 50 times asking him for a meeting over his abbreviated tenure as prime minister. And the best response that I got from Minnis was contact Mrs. Morley, Monique Morley in his office, and she'll arrange a meeting with me. And when I speak to Miss Morley, Miss Morley's like, well, the prime minister ain't say nothing to me about that. So until he does, you'd be better off speaking with the prime minister and ask him when he's going to give you that meeting. And Joshua Sears, same thing, just big runaround. Candia Ferguson in the Bahamas Investment Authority, she was director. She knew exactly what was going on. Joshua Sears knew exactly what was going on in bamboozling me. And when I flew to Grand Bahama and said, the question to me was that I should go and talk to RCL and ask them for some of their land, some of their
ground. Wow. So the land was already theirs and they're mine. 322-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Why I find it interesting is the broader sense, not just your project, but I think it goes to the core of how Bahamians are treated in the country by our own leaders and the people who we put in place to represent us. So Crown land is held, I guess it belongs to the Crown, but the Crown is the representation or the leadership of the actual people of the country. And so you have to wonder who is all of this for?
So let's just qualify it. The Crown land has been afforded to the government of the Bahamas, specifically to the minister responsible for Crown land, true responsibility to do what's in the best interest of Bahamians for that land, having a sworn oath or having sworn an oath to the Queen, who's the purveyor of that Crown land as the head of the Commonwealth.
But we haven't seen that, have you? We've seen Crown land being given to Bahama, other large organizations coming in. I don't see the Crown land. I mean, little bits here and there, but you have this constant thing where Bahamians are practically, like you're saying, begging for something that's supposed to be dealt with in a way that is positive for the Bahamian people, but kind of left out of the equation. It seems like, you know, they just don't think that Bahamians should actually have Crown Lab.
Clearly, because if there's 30,000 applications, and last time that there was an audit or somebody counted these big piles of applications, and I know this runs through, I'm told every day, Bahamian Square, I've been waiting for Acorn, Carmichael Road, I've been waiting for Land of Farm in Alutra, I've been waiting for Acutin, Black Point, across the whole Bahamas, and across, you know, hard-working Bahamians who have this vision and this hope that they're going to be able to get this crown land in order to be able to do something which would be ownership and self-empowerment, yeah? That they've got these, last time they counted, there was 30,000 applications. So what I'm saying is, by Bahamians for crown land, so I'm saying is that, okay, how is it that a Bahamian has to wait 10 years and then a foreign company doesn't even put in an application like how Bahamians have to go through? I've been through 100 government workers and 50, but a foreigner can go into the office of the prime minister, talk directly to the minister responsible, who is the prime minister, and get crown land without even going through that formal application. And what my view on that is that it's absolutely imbalanced. It's completely unfair to Bahamians. And government should go through those 30,000 applications. And once they've gone through all those applications and given out the crown lands through leases or grants to all of the applied parties, treating Bahamians first, once they've gone through all those applications, it's like, okay, there's no more on the pile, but now we've got a pile over here for foreign applications. Now we can start to go through them.
But Toby, remember with the last group that was in, they said that they were going through these applications. They said we should wait and be patient, that all of these things. And we watched them giving away land to foreign projects. Yeah. As they were telling us to wait.
Indeed. And go down the lands and surveys and ask, or send an email or a letter to the acting to the acting director of lands and surveys, Richard Hardy, and ask him what Bahamians are getting these crown land approvals, or, you know, have you started an audit of what is actually crown land in the Bahamas? They don't even have that number, right? So they go out. We'll go out and buy a bunch of drones. Are we going to do a crown land inventory?
I really thought that that's what they were doing for some time, except I saw them actually giving out land when they said they were doing these audits or whatever like that. I thought we had a sense of an idea.
I can tell you who got crown land. Some people in Anagua got some crown land. Some people in Abaco, right? And the cruise lines have received hundreds of acres of crown land, whole keys.
Yeah, and when I don't understand that at all.
at like $1 an acre a year, where they're making billions in revenues off of that, they're bringing their crew off of the ship that don't have work permits, that are not contributing to NIB, and Bahamians who are standing there wondering, why I can't get a high-paying job where I can get ahead, or self-empowerment, self-employment, opportunity of ownership. They're scratching their heads, and the only jobs they get offered is living in a man camp with a hot bed and 3 squares a day, cleaning toilets or doing landscape maintenance. No, but hold on. Your time's coming. We get these foreigners straight first.
Yeah.
And next term, we coming to you. Just hold tight.
That brings me to something else. A Bahamian-owned project and one owned by someone that's coming in. The pros and cons, because I think you had this conversation online with someone else. They tried to say that there's absolutely no difference. But we know that companies outside of the Bahamas that have businesses here, most of their money, if just about all of it, it doesn't even touch this country, especially if, you know, we're working through this now. They're called what, paperless, where you don't pay with cash. It's all credit cards and electronic payments.
Right.
They don't even have to have an account in the Bahamas, and they can be doing business here, basically.
They don't need to have an account in the Bahamas.
Right, they don't need to have an account. Well, they have an account just to pay their employees, and that would account for the 10 or 15 to 20% that we see circulating, 5% of the money actually flowing outside of the country. How do you see that, and how do you account for how the government doesn't see the positive nature of a Bahamian-owned project.
All right. So I believe that any person that stands up to say that a foreign-owned company that's generating revenues that have no footprint in Nassau, aren't providing direct employment to anyone in the Bahamas, or certainly in Nassau, versus a fully owned Bahamian business generating revenues, that for someone to argue that the same amount of money goes out of the country is just completely wrong. So they might want to try and sell you that narrative, but I believe in calling people out for trying to spin, I wouldn't even say spin the truth, but trying to lie, because here, I'm not opposed to, or I'm a proponent of Bahamian ownership. And what is happening right now is that with foreign-owned companies, it's proven that approximately 80 to 85% of the revenue that's generated by, for instance, cruise ships are generated because of our sun, sand, and sea, but 85% of that money goes straight out of the country, or it doesn't even arrive in the Bahamas. It
doesn't even arrive here, yeah.
So the Bahamians are fighting for 15% of the scraps that are left here, yeah? And I'm simply saying that that's a gross imbalance between a foreign-owned company making taking 85% of the revenues out of the country. And I think that it should be more proportionate and biased towards Bahamians having a greater, not only a greater chunk, but the majority share of that. Let's say $1 billion in a year, and 850 million of that, 85% of that goes back to foreign shareholders in the States, and it doesn't even touch our shores. Then that means that $150 million is left circulating in the Bahamas. So my project, while smaller than RCL's, is a Bahamian-owned project, and the revenues that I generated by attracting FDI, foreign direct investment, which is money coming in, just even if it's in tourist pockets, it doesn't have to be in some resort, that they're coming in and they're leaving, let's say, a minimum of $150 million in the Bahamas. It could be that they're leaving $300 million in the Bahamas, which is better than us being left with $150 million. And that will continue to circulate. It will go through our banks, into our schools, or through the food stores, through goods and services that consists, or constituents, are GDP, our gross domestic product. To Bahamians, regardless of who's supposed to be representing us, and they represent, or the last administration, I believe, represented us extremely poorly in negotiating with companies like Royal Caribbean to say, we'll give you a 150-year lease, right? And after a week of it being in the press, then the past prime minister says, well, go ask them. They'll probably accept a 100-year lease instead. Well, you were the chief negotiator.
Yeah, it brings up negotiations. And we've had this track record of the people in charge, or our leaders, being terrible negotiators. I mean, my 9-year-old daughter would not make the type of deals that we see going down, would have the common sense to know that how can I lease out, grant out, whatever, something to someone, not even from here, for more time than I'm going to even...
Stay in school, girl, and learn your things, right? But here we are, we have a scenario where a 9-year-old can do better in negotiating than a 60, 70 something year old fellows, I guess obviously past his prime, that immediately turned, he's the one that sat in that desk and he's the one that negotiated. So I guess what Bahamians should be asking themselves is, why did he agree to those terms? And why did he try swing me and double cross me and double deal the same 3 acres, 3 of which is included in RCL 7 acres? So RCL is sitting there with a lease with 3/7 of their land is in my lease agreement that was given a year and a half.
Repeat that, because I think that is a clear understanding here of what's going on.
Right. So I got 2 acres around by the lighthouse. I got 3 acres on the beach. And what the government agreed to, a year and a half later, they agreed that RCL can have 7 acres. But 3 of those 7 acres are what is in my lease. So they're completely steamrolling over my beach club land, which is the 3 acres, completely.
So I kind of understand what they did now. So basically, they're willing to give you the lighthouse to fix up, right? I can be very...
Not even, no, because Carl Bethel told me on the 27th of February, 2020, just a few weeks after I signed my lease and sent it back and put payment in and all the rest of it, Carl Bethel called me in and I thought, oh, wow, okay, he's calling me into the office of the Prime Minister. That's what they do with the foreign investors, where they sit on the big, big table in the back of the OPM's office, the big, big table, right? And it's all shiny and you get to sit there. You usually see photographs in the media with foreigners sitting to the table signing these agreements. You rarely see Bahamians there, right?
I was in the union, so I said... Once or twice. That was
Yeah, really, once or twice. But it's you.
I was there. When I was there, I basically saw some people waiting to sit at the big table.
Right. But you got a bunch of white people coming in, or Chinese with a suitcase or whatever. They look official. You know what I mean? They go in and they sign agreements. But so Carl Bethel said, hey, come into the office of the Prime Minister on the 27th of February. And I'm thinking, all right, I get to sit at the big table. We're going to have a whole, signing ceremony are we doing? And before I even walked in, he essentially told me that my Bahamas Investment Authority approval from 2018, my memorandum of understanding, and my Crown Land lease ain't worth the paper that they're written on. So I would assume that Minnis, knowing that he just sent a letter through Joshua Sears to RCL's lawyer, Campbell Clear, offering them the same piece of land that was included in my lease, that they had to send the axeman, Carl Bethel, to say, Toby, ain't nothing happening for you.
I'm not saying
that he used violence or had any armaments, but I'm saying that's a general term of somebody that you're sending to do your...
So basically, during your waiting period, you were brought in and told, like, anything. Did they give you a reason why that things that were signed by these different agencies were no longer any good?
Yeah, because they're going to push me down to the other end of the beach. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, that's honeycomb rock, right? How am I supposed to have a beach club on the rock?
Beach.
And he told me that I should be very grateful for that. I could read you the text, but he's telling me I should be very grateful, that I should appreciate what I got. The Bahamians would kill to have that land over there on honeycomb rock. Yeah, but hold on. A deal is a deal. You offered me. I accepted it. And if you think that if you could beat a precedent that went back to 1882, then good for you. How about ask me if I want him down to this honeycomb rock? And that all happened before I could even sit at the table.
So do you think Bahamians are respected in their own country?
No! Respected how? I mean, if you're part of the royal family. Respected how is that a demonstration of respect? All right, so I got the lease, right? I got the lease. Okay, cool. I respect you for that. And then you want to double cross me? No, I can't respect that. You're trying to swing me. How are you trying to swing your boy?
So why do you think this even happened? I mean, this seems like a lot to go through.
All right, so to go back to when the Prime Minister and Michael Bailey linked up on the 4th of March with the heads of agreement, they had the collywop chop and make sure that, okay, if we're promising them to do a deal on of Crown Land on Paradise Island, we need to get this letter out to them. And it was a week before they signed the heads of agreement for the grant, was sent a letter from Joshua Sears to Campbell Clear. I could read it to you if you want, but it's basically approving them in principle, number one, with land subject to availability. And my land ain't available, right? So RCL and all this said, oh, well, we're just dealing with the government on this. And I'm like, yeah, well, understand. You're steamrolling through a whole Bahamian project. They're like, oh, we're just dealing with the government on this.
Well, as I told you, Toby, I really don't give fault to the entities that are coming into the country. I give fault to the people that represent us.
They don't represent us. They don't represent me.
Yeah, what I'm saying to you is that their job is to represent us, right?
Yes,
The onus really falls on them, because people will always come in and want to take things or if they're offered things, because in many instances, I feel like we're offering sometimes these things to people. I don't even know if they're looking for these deals in how we treat each other as Bahamians. And the fact that when we have Bahamians that have the power to make things happen, they tend to do the opposite of what our expectations of them. as people who are supposed to be representing our interests.
All right, so let me show you a vibe, right? So it's a mindset, and you talked about like health and wellness is the typical topics on your show. So let's talk about hope. Yeah. So if a Bahamian is told, yeah, you could get that crown lease, we're working on it. Have hope. Just bear with me, right? But, well, you know, we just got elected. Just wait. Well, you know, Junkanoo coming, Christmas coming. Ain't nothing gonna happen over Christmas, so you gotta wait. Well, now we got budget. So you gotta wait, have hope. And they'll play on that hope. Because you think, what can you reduce the person down to? You can make all these promises, right? But what is the actual? So they play on that. Yeah, hold on. Man, I didn't get to you this election, but go in there and you go vote for me and I can get you straight next week. When we get election result, I get you straight, my brother. Right? That's what they did with me. They flammed me. I'm in my fourth administration now. Right. So they play on that hope. They make you think you're going to get it. And then they've silenced you. Then you ain't kicking up no fuss. Yeah, well, what am I going to do? He promised me I could get a government job. He said my daughter was going to be in a 52-week program. He says, get me straight with social services. Yeah, I get in a promotion at NIB. Right? So, okay. Bahamians be, okay, don't upset the apple cart. You know, your auntie daughter said that she could get this straight and da-da-da-da-da. So but don't be talking bad about that. And then now they got you in check. So you're still hoping you're going to get this promotion or you're going to get something. It's all legit. You're hoping you're going to get it. And they got you hook, line, and sinker that they can flam you for 5 years. And I ain't getting flammed.
Take one more break, Toby, and we're going to come back and we're just going to talk about, is there hope in all of this?
There is hope.
Then 3-2-2-6-2-3-2-3-2-5-4-3-1-6, 3-2-5-4-2-5-9. So we'll take our final break and we'll be back with Mr. Toby Smith talking about Crown Line and Bahamians. You know, should we be getting more? Are we just waiting? Are we getting flammed? What's going on with the Crown Line? We'll be back in a moment with the doctors and with me, Dr. D. Archer.
When hugs and happy smiles have been few and far between, Fresh Market knows just how important this holiday season is to everyone. We've made our list, we've checked them twice, all to ensure that your holiday meals are filled with fresh and delicious ingredients and bakeries are filled with holiday sweets and treats. And our grocery aisles are stocked with all your favorite essentials. It's the best time of the year, and we're giving you Fresh for the Holidays.
Do you worry that you or your loved ones may get COVID-19 and possibly die from it? Getting a COVID-19 vaccine can lower your risk of severe illness or death from COVID-19. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is available, and you only need one shot. One and done and fully vaccinated for now. Talk to a healthcare professional about your concerns and about getting vaccinated. To be safe, continue to wash your hands, wear your face mask, practice physical distancing, and get vaccinated.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
Designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card, if it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
During the holidays, don't forget to pay attention to the latest public health protocols and regulations. We must continue to wash our hands and sanitize frequently. Wear our masks. Avoid touching our faces. Cough and sneeze into our elbows and maintain a distance of at least 3 feet away from others in public. If we all follow these tips, we can have a happy and healthy holiday season. On the second day.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday.
And hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So we're waiting on then, let's go earn some grocery money.
Hello and welcome back to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Denothra Archer Cartwright. You know, we are all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society at large. And we have an interesting topic tonight. We're talking about Bahamian Crown Land, specifically with Mr. Toby Smith. And here, when it comes to Crown Land, you know, are we all being bamboozled and just left in the wind? Is it just a hope and a dream? That's the question a lot of Bahamians have. If you want to join in, 325-4319. Toby.
Yes.
Is there hope? Is there hope for your project? Is there hope for Bahamians?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's reasons for hope, and there's a couple of reasons why. Number one is that I have one of the aces in my hand of cards is the fact that I have a court case that's ongoing. So to be frank with you, the government shouldn't even be negotiating, nor should any third parties be negotiating with the government on land that's in litigation, number one. So I have that trump card that it's, or the writ's already been filed. So I just got to wait until March for the hearing. And not only my favor, but that will be as a result of me hoping and agitating for change. And you said at the top of the show, like you've been, you know, following the story. Should Bahamians really have to battle? Should I have to be in the newspaper every day, stamping my foot and saying this ain't right, and Bahamians don't like it? And you made the reference to that should Bahamians be treated as second tier. Right now, to be frank with you, we're no tier. We ain't sitting on, we don't have a level. You get foreigners coming in and getting pandered to and getting approvals within a few months. And you get Bahamians that are put in the application, but they're not even allowed up to the first step. Who your ma, who your pa, who you is? Who you representing? Who you fronting for? Right? How you got this money? Hey, you got this, we don't even get to the front door, let alone to sit up to the table.
But this seems to be culturally accepted. Bahamians seem to be comfortable with being treated this way. And I'll tell you, as someone, you know, who's lived in other countries and coming back, when you make a fuss, everyone looks at you, including the people who are being oppressed.
Looks at you how?
Looks at you like, why are you making a fuss?
Some people do,
it's almost like a lot of Bahamians are accepting of this way of being treated.
Because they've been strung along and they're convinced that someone in their family is going to get a promotion or something's going to happen, or that they've seen so many people struggle and they've witnessed firsthand a generational struggle. This is what they're doing. This is what their parents did. This is what their grandparents did, or pass the front door and at least be able to sit up to the table.
So in a sense, we as Bahamians, well, not me personally, but we seem to be complicit in the system that we talk about.
Because, okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to be like Toby and be an activist for all Bahamians? This ain't about a win for Toby. This is about, I'm hoping, my goal is that I win my court case, my lease is honored, and everything that I said that I'm going to do, I will fulfill, and I will deliver a world-class product on a global stage where people say, Not that Paradise Island is like the French Riviera or French Riviera or Monaco or some of these foreign. This is paradise. Wow. I want movies over there, commercials over there, Bahamians can enjoy. Imagine listening to Ronnie Butler, drinking a beer, swimming with a nice, peaceful crowd, and knowing and embracing our guests and other Bahamians. So when Bahamians have fought and not won their battles, they're going to lick their wounds and they'd be like, man, well, I ain't going to try that again. And they're going to, you know, sit back and disappear into the crowd again. And just, you know, well, that's just how it is. No, I ain't accepting that. So what I've been through, I'm hoping that I'm going to help to break the glass ceiling so the Bahamians can rise up and we can get over this hurdle and we can demand change. And I'm hoping that if I can break through that barrier and make it easier for other Bahamians to also receive crown land, then that's an inspiration to me. Yeah. And I want it to be that this isn't about Toby. This is about get crown land that they've been working on for the last 15 years. Or it's to finally deliver the message that we're tired of being oppressed and having people standing on our neck. Yeah. Because they've clearly, the last administration clearly demonstrated that it is them that have their feet on our necks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in my case. And they are the problem. So if we could remove them, well, they were removed.
Yeah, right? They were.
The Bahamian public spoke. They're not satisfied with that. Now, they can go into a voting booth and mark their X, and they're anonymous, right? But are they actually going to come out and march for a cause?
Well, I've been on the side of marching and doing those things. You didn't know me in my marching days, Toby, but I did a little marching myself. And I kind of pulled back from a lot of that because I found that Bahamians really don't want to do those things. They want to wait until there's a big crowd. Well, you don't get a big crowd until little crowds come together.
Yeah.
Right. But they've told me straight up they want to hide in the big crowd. That's why they want a big crowd. They don't want to be soloed out. They don't want to be pointed at. They want to hide in the big crowd, and that's the only way that they want to come out. And I've been involved in a lot of different, where people drop out the morning of because they're afraid.
Yeah. I protested in support of violence against kids and protested in support of the Marcos Law with Tenille Burrows. I've made my voice heard. So, I am not going to be held back. I have dreams and aspirations, and I have to say it, something positive to come out of all this lot in the way that I was treated in the previous administration, and even up to and including today. Thanks, Dr. Minnis. You get me a whole bunch of publicity where people can see your true colors, and this is really putting my project on the map. So when I do open my doors, everybody can know about it and everybody be coming down there for some nice food. So while you try to double deal and double cross me, look at the way it came back to you.
Wow. That's very strong words, Mr. Smith. But I feel your pain and I see your passion. And that's why even with all of this, and I don't know, they say sometimes this stuff is controversial, but with all of this, I think stories like this have to be told in this country. Because, and I think that's why I found a little bit of a kindred spirit in you, because here you were willing to continually fight. And that's why.
No.
They're not willing to be soloed out. They're not willing to go against the system or the grain. They will wait.
Yeah.
And wait.
I know
a good friend of mine who had a very large project. And he went through the very same thing, and he waited across administrations, mm-hmm. and he got strung around, he got mm-hmm. used,
mm-hmm.
You know, he did some things that I told him, you know, maybe that's not a good idea for your image, but, you know, he thought this was going to be it. It was just one more thing.
Yeah.
And he's not in a good place right now.
I'm sorry to hear that. And so let's tie that back as far as health and wellness, right? That how far does a government want to run down its people into much that, you know, we can't just pick up and leave. This is our home. And we're sitting here and we're witnessing what you're doing on the other side of the fence and eating your fancy cakes and whatnot and having tea and biscuits with these foreign investors. And we're right here fighting for that 15% that we talked about earlier on. If we're lucky, if crumbs just happen to drop on the floor that we can pick up in cleaning toilets or doing landscape maintenance, or maybe pick up some taxi fares is what they like to brag about also, you know, or saying, I'll give you a tip.
Well, I think it's psychological warfare. You know, we keep cycling through the same groups of people, whether, I don't care what color shirt they're wearing, I don't care, but we keep cycling through the same groups of people dressed up in different manners. Yeah. And I think it's all a part of this psychological game of power.
Oh, completely, completely, completely. So how's your average behavior supposed to
be? Broken down to nothing. You know, if you're surviving and not thriving, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to go against the grain.
So imagine if I had have spent the last 10 years making money in this project. Imagine if I had a broken ground 10 years ago, right? So imagine if I was to have 150 people on the payroll right now, and they were making $40,000 a year, because ex-prime minister stood up to say that a competitor is promising to make these jobs, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 a year. So let's just use that example, of 150 people making $40,000 a year multiplied by 10 years. That's $60 million that would be generated in pay for people and circulate around the Bahamas many, many times within our economy, circulate. So that $60 million, because it circulates so many times, is actually, so
yeah,
I've been waiting 10 years. So that's $60 million that they've blocked from being able to circulate in our economy many times.
Definitely, and it's a total shame. And we have a lot of Bahamians whose projects get blocked for various reasons.
Yeah,
you know, so it's your $60 million, it's the other guy's $100 million, the other guy's $10 million.
Yeah.
You know, we are in a country where billions of dollars float through our economy. I mean, sometimes within my job, I do concierge medicine and I meet millionaires and billionaires, right? Yeah. Just floating around in this country on vacation at their second home or whatever like that. You know, this type of money floating around the country. And you would think that there would be Bahamian millionaires and possibly even a Bahamian billionaire somewhere popping up. We don't see that here. What we see is a very small grouping of people who are recycling the same small pot of cash mindset of not plenty, but their mindset is that small that they can't see the benefits in Bahamians and Bahamian ownership and opening up the pie rather than, you know, fighting over the crumbs.
So what you have to ask yourself is, and ask other people is that why would a government, if they're typically, they offered me a 21-year lease, right? With renewal after 21 years, I could renew it again for another 21 years, right? Why is it that they're offering leases that are maybe a 99-year lease, but 150 years is way out of the norm? So ask yourself and ask other people, why is it that ex-Prime Minister Minnis gave a 150-year lease to Royal Caribbean Cruise Line? And I bet you that many people can come up with their own answers to that.
I'm sure we all have a thought on that. When it comes to foreign investments, those lease agreements need to be a lot shorter. I don't even know why we're going over 25 years for any type of lease agreement for a foreign.
Why the inequality? Why are you given 150-year minimum, right? Because they can continue to roll it over, and before that they were only offering me a 21-year period with a rollover.
So right. So I think if anything, Bahamians can go up to 20-25 years with, you know, conditions to renew. Non-Bahamian companies 5 or 10 years. I guess they're saying they're not going to make the type of money back from their investment. But I find even just like the banking system, we're always kind of thinking about their interests over our own. It's very strange because, you know, I did a march too against the banking system. We met with the governor of the central bank. And at the time, I thought he was going to have a discussion with us. He gave me a presentation on how the banks need to make their money. And we shouldn't be going on like this because the banks lost all this money and we need to think about their revenue stream. And this just totally blew my mind.
He was trying to give you a Xanax. He was trying to give you a Xanax. He was trying to give you a chill pill to say, listen, I want you to understand, we ain't doing it. Right? Those are small. Don't
right? Lie, so why? So he gave me this whole presentation on why these big multi-million, billion-dollar banks needed to make their money back and stuff. And I asked him a simple question. I said, in your entire presentation, Governor of the Bahamian Central Bank, you did not mention the Bahamian people and what they're losing once.
Not what they're losing, but what you are stopping them from gaining. That's how we're treated. So it's red tape for Bahamians and just put them in the spin cycle, man. Just put them on the merry-go-round. Oh, you again? All right, yeah, I get you. It on the agenda for cabinet. I've heard every excuse in the book. So the way that I see this getting resolved and going forward is that my hunch is that this New Day government, I have observed, and I believe, given what I've been told by the Prime Minister and what he has put on public record, that I got a chance of resolving this matter before I even reached the 30th of March or the end of March, the 28th of March court date. So I'm saying, all right, you just came into this new administration. You are going through the process of appointing your boards and this and that. The angle with ex-Prime Minister Minnis is different to my strategy with Prime Minister Brave Davis. So I'm giving them some time. And I've said just as much to them. I said, listen, I ain't on the attack on you guys. Get your feet under the desk. Let some dust settle. Do your things. And then when at the appropriate time, once you've had a chance to read my file, get up to speed of what's going on. Oh, okay, that's what's going on. Then sit down with a toaster and say, hey, man, let's hash this out and figure it out. Yeah, it ain't right. Minutes clearly doubled out the same set, 3 out of 7 acres.
Okay, we're getting close to our time, but I have a couple questions I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
The RCL project, is it similar to your project? Because I'm here in Beach Club.
Yeah, Beach Club. So there's the Paradise Hall Garden Lighthouse and Beach Club, which is going to be the best beach club in the Bahamas and an original lighthouse feature. And then you've got run-of-the-mill, let's cut down all the trees, let's pave paradise, I think that we can, in a bar package, internet package, you know, all of these things so that they can fill up their big buckets of money and at the end of the day, put those big buckets of money on their cruise ships and take all that money out of the country. Yeah? So
usually, cruise ships are all-inclusive most of the time. So would this experience be a part? Because when I go on cruises, and this is why people don't understand why people on cruise ships don't spend a lot of money in where they dock. Mm-hmm. When I'm on a cruise ship, so I did a Mediterranean cruise that was for my honeymoon, and we had already booked all of our tours and our activities before we got off the ship, right?
With the ship or directly with the excursion operator?
On the ship, the ship does all of your book ship. Who picks you up, your tour, where you're going to go, where you're going to eat. You can do all of that on a lot of these ships. So when you step off and you hear these cruise ship people say to you, well, I didn't bring any money or I only brought $10 for a drink.
Right.
Because they've spent $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 already booking these excursions, booking these trips, booking food venues, and doing all this stuff before they even come off the ship. So the ship collects all the money, right? Better have your credit card, right? I was in in Istanbul and our credit card said, you said, what are you doing in Istanbul? And it stopped working. We had to call because we were booking these trips, right?
Right.
So you spend all this money before you even step off the boat.
And so the person that
I'm not too sure if that's your internet, but you just broke up a little. We're here with Toby Smith. We're just about to end our show. We were talking about his project with his beach house, his dispute about the Crown land issue. But Toby has said that he has hope. He has a case that's coming up. He says it's a new day, and he's hoping for the best. I think his story is extremely important for what we as Bahamians go through and the difficulties that we face in just doing simple business and trying to make a better way in our own country. You know, there's no reason why we should be second-class citizens, third-class, or not even considered. You fell out of there for a second, Toby. Unmute your mic. It's muted. We've got five more minutes, so I want you to take a few minutes and kind of just tell us what you want us to get out of all of yours and relating it to what the country at large. So you've got a few minutes, Toby. Go for it.
I would like, first of all, for Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines to take a step back and understand that a lease that I can show them has already been provided to my Bahamian company, and by them coming in, they are trying to stampede over land that's already been spoken for a year and a half before they even reach. Number two, I would like to the opportunity of this New Day government to be able to go through, assess what's going on, reach their own conclusion, and either that we settle this matter by honoring my lease before it goes to court, or number three, is that I've been waiting 10 years. I got no problem in waiting until March for my case management, for my case to come up with a hearing before the Supreme Court. And I'm confident that I'm going to get a fair trial. And I believe in my heart of hearts that at the end of it, I'm going to get a ruling in my favor. In this dream, then pursue your dreams and do what you got to do. And if I can bang and break down the door, and other Bahamians then say, all right, well, Toby did it, maybe I could do it. And then everybody try rushing the same door. I got no problem with that. And I hope that I can inspire at least one person to do that.
And well, I'm definitely going to go and check on my Crown grant application one more time. You know, I kind of, you know, I'm a little bit laid back sometimes with some of these things. I do fight a lot like you do, Toby. But I would say that coming back home... Huh?
Who are you fighting?
I fight in a very diplomatic way.
Right.
But I find that coming back home really has, I don't know, it's a different outlook than anything, you know. I was living in Canada, also down in Trinidad, but like when you're in Canada, then, you know, it just happens.
Yeah.
Coming back home after they say, go and get educated, do this, do that, because I am a doctor, I'm a physician. And like you say, there are still glass ceilings, I find.
Right.
There's a glass ceiling that's there. You can't see it, but if you were to jump up, you would hit your head.
Yeah,
and
boy.
I think that's what a lot of Bahamians, especially Bahamians coming back home to the country, have felt. And I hear them all the time talking about bringing Bahamians in who are doing well in other places. Those Bahamians are there because they couldn't accomplish those things here.
Yeah.
And you have professionals, Bahamians, who are willing to do a lot for this country. If you don't appreciate the ones that are here who are willing to fight for something, how do you think that you're ever going to get those other people to come back home?
So right? I'm a living testament to that, that I can either decide, you know what, I'm going to retire and I'm going to just gonna go off and retire and go. So I believe I'm going to succeed in this and continue with my ambition and not be deterred by this noise and go for it. I'm living testament to the fact that my kid has now gone away to school and she's seen the struggle that I've gone through and she's decided that she ain't interested in coming back to the Bahamas. I mean, there's so many people that have told me the same story of their kids going away, seeing the struggle that their parents went through, and these kids see an opportunity. Imagine this as my final thought, right? Imagine if it was to be a process that if you wanted Crown land in the Bahamas, you go into Lands and Surveys, you submit your application, you have an interview, and they assess you on a scale of 1 to 10. Anybody that scores an 8 or above goes on to the next level. Within 2 weeks, you get a response, and you pay for the surveyor to draw out where you want it. It's plotted on a map, and they'll give you an answer.
There's very little objective scales. It's all done is somewhere in the back room where someone makes the decision. Who knows what they choose and how they choose to grant Crown land? It's all a mystery. Like everything else in this country, it's all a mystery. But we're out of time, Toby. I want to thank you for coming in tonight and sharing your story with us. And I hope it stimulates a conversation on this. I wish you luck in your case. I think you're going to do well. And I think either way, you have shown that you got to fight sometimes for what you want in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you very much. I appreciate the kind invitation. Thank you for everybody that's listening. I appreciate your support. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. It's easy enough to find me. Just Google Paradise on a Lighthouse. You'll see me pop up there somewhere.
All right, so week with another exciting topic. Good night. Bye-bye.